Hey, good morning.
Hello.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome back to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys had a terrific weekend. Hope you guys had a great show yesterday with us. We ran a really good health article yesterday, health show. Went into detail on a lot of different topics. If you guys have seen that yet, over at the podcast at browershow.com. Be sure to check that out every day for updates and all the different topics that we cover on a regular basis here at healthmasters.com. And you can also go up and get updates on the email.
Now, if they go to this particular website here,
yes.
Did we say good morning yet? Welcome to the worldwide broadcast.
Good morning. I did do that. Where were you?
I was reading something. This is awful. But they can watch the show now on this browershow.com without having to deal with the commercials from Rumble, correct?
Absolutely.
There you go.
You can go right in here and click on it and click this right here, and it just continues to go. And then you can watch our show on this show.
Is that me or you?
This is our show. We're watching our show while we're doing our show live. That didn't give you some an inception feeling there. We're watching a show inside of another show. Inside of another show.
Be watching another show on there right now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I didn't find the video. We're watching a show on there. So, yes, you can watch it. Zero commercials, zero anything. Rumble, Spotify, Gab, a lot of those platforms, in order to keep the premium service on there, they force us to have ads on it.
That forces is the actual word.
Well, they do, because I got to make sure, because there's so many shows and how much we upload on it, we have to have X amount of bandwidth, so I'm like, whatever. But again, that's the platforms I'm trying to get on to make sure we continue to get it out there.
When Globalstar was hosting the show by itself, it had gone up to 15 terabytes a month.
Just a lot.
And Todd said he couldn't do it.
Well, it costs a lot of time and a lot of money. Yeah, and that's what it chews up on there. So you can watch that here on the show at browershow.com. And, of course, go back here for all your supplement needs. The 12 days of Christmas, you guys know how that works by now. 12 days, throw it in the coupon code on checkout for total rest. This is a neurotransmitter and hormone system. Promotes stress resiliency and also helps promote a calm mind. This also has a product in it called GABA, which is really, really important for mood, and it stacks incredibly well with the 5-HTP. I found that note.
This is a great product. All of our products are great.
You can take it at nighttime. You can also take it with the purple sticks, I found out. You don't have to take this as a supplement for sleep only. You can help maintain a little bit more.
It really helps keep cortisol down.
That's exactly right. I was about to say, 'cause if you take this with the purple sticks and like the cortisol buster and the attention factor,
oh, that's a terrible stack. I wouldn't do all that.
That's what I did this morning.
Of course you did.
Well, I had a great yesterday. I took off. You guys saw we had a show for you guys, a really good show for you guys. I took my kids over there to Universal Studios. No gayness. No faggotry. No gayness at all over there. It was fantastic.
Did you say faggotry?
Did I say that?
I'm never
going to probably
before.
Edit that again on the show, aren't you?
That's all right.
I'm not sorry. But it was a great time over there. I didn't run into any weird people at all. Great time. Rode the new Velociraptor roller coaster.
You said that was the best you've ever ridden.
One of the finest roller coasters I've ridden. I'm a roller coaster connoisseur. I've Six Flags all over the country. I've gone a lot.
The best roller coaster I've ever ridden is a P-51 Mustang.
Yeah, well, come on.
A real one. A real one from World War II.
It's like someone goes, well, the best roller coaster I rode was an F-22 Raptor fire pilot. Yeah, okay.
No. I did an inside loop with it. I was doing barrel rolls with it until I threw up.
Yeah. You would have liked this one, though.
But he said they give you a barf bag when you get on that bike.
Oh, yeah.
They said everybody throws up.
You're not used to the G's.
I made sure I did not eat either.
Yeah.
And but it's just, it was, I pulled like 8 G's in that inside loop.
You don't want to eat like a double bison burger before you open a plane like that.
No, but it was fun though. I really enjoyed it. I was through the Confederate Air Force and I basically was able to fly for like an hour. And it was a blast.
That's pretty cool.
I loved it. I loved it. That was one of my goals that I always had, was to fly a P-51 Mustang. And I tell you, if you ever get the opportunity to do that and you're a pilot, even if you're not a pilot, and you like roller coasters. If you don't like roller coasters, don't do this ride.
No.
And he told me, he goes, well, I want to do a simulated strafe. I said, strafe? He goes, we're down to by Sebring. We flew to Sebring in like minutes. It was like 100, about 70 miles. And he says, he goes, because the thing was, and he put it into like a 500 knot dive.
Ooh.
And he came up, he stayed about 100 feet above the ground, totally broke all the rules of the FAA.
Yeah, I was going to say 100 foot. That's
because he wanted to do a
simulated. That's a low floor.
Like a 50 caliber strafing.
Yeah.
His neighbor down there wanted him to do it over his house. Yes, can I do this? Because I was running the thing for me,
it was
right?
Loud on the ground.
Oh my gosh, coming there screaming like that.
Yeah.
But that was a blast. I really enjoyed that.
100-foot strafe.
Oh yeah, I mean yeah. I'm like, it's getting kind of low.
Yeah,
coming in kind of fast.
Treetops pop up.
Oh, by the way, my condolences to Rob Reiner's family and to the fans of Rob Reiner. I did not care for him. He was affectionately called Meathead on Archie Bunker's show, All in the Family, back in the 70s.
Was he?
Archie was a liberal too, but he played a real strong conservative, very, very unbelievably racist conservative. And it was a big show they had back. It was one of the top shows for like 10 years. And he was always arguing with Rob Reiner, who was a hardcore liberal. In life, he was. And, of course, he had to come in and basically slam Trump repeatedly. And then Trump had some bad things to say about him after he died, which I thought was a little bit out of, you know, bad taste. He shouldn't have done that.
The problem is, after somebody dies, they can't defend themselves.
One of my brothers one time, you know, made a bad comment about, you know, one of our family members who had passed away, and I explained to him that that wasn't going to work with me.
Yeah.
I said, if there's a person's not here to defend himself, you need to let it go.
From what I read with Rob, it said his son killed him. Allegedly, that's what the homicide they're saying on it.
Yeah, he stabbed him and slit his throat.
That's horrible.
Well, the problem is he's homeless, he was a drug addict. And, you know, again, it shows, you know, and I'm going to say this very clearly to everybody. I mean, just because you try to raise a child right, okay, doesn't mean the child's going to turn out okay.
Yeah,
and,
true.
You know, sometimes a child has to make their own choice. It's called freedom of will. You look at Adam and Eve. You know, they kind of turned on God, and he made them. And so that was interesting about that.
I think what a lot of it comes down to, though, is really, and I'm not saying this is any aspect of what happened, I'm not speculating, but in some cases I've seen a lot of these really, really wealthy families sometimes continue to enable kids, even though they end up exhibiting horrific behavior because they have so much money, they kind of just keep throwing money at it.
I saw a colonel one time basically give his kid drugs until the kid finally overdosed.
We didn't give him drugs. He didn't give him physical drugs. He gave him money and basically enabled him, but he never physically gave him drugs. Let's clarify
He gave him money to physically enable him to get drugs. And when I talked to him about the drugs, he completely denied it was actually happening. And finally, the kid overdosed on heroin. And the sad part about it is the investigator, you know, asked me, because I was involved in this whole thing. It was a mess. Asked me, you know, who enabled this young man? And I said, that would be his dad. You know, when you have a kid. And so apparently Rob Reiner wasn't enabling him. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't.
Oh, he wasn't?
Well, no, he had him in some kind of movie like 10 years ago. But the kid had all kinds of behavioral issues. And it's sad because the problem is a lot of times when these kids are given too much or too young, or they're being put with liberal nannies or liberal care services, whatever, things change on them. But you can't just blame it on the nannies or whatever. Every kid, when they hit the age of puberty, has to make their own choices.
That's very true.
You know, they can sit there and try to blame everything on their parents when they're 25 years old and, you know, what they did when they were 13, 14, or 15. But, you know, quite frankly, if the parent was doing the best they could, that's all they could do. So don't get yourself into some guilt trip. But my condolences to the family of Rob Reiner. He came out with A Few Good Men and a few other really, really good movies. Again, I didn't agree with his liberal politics, but you know, him and James Woods, and James Woods is a staunch conservative, they were best friends.
Were they really?
And he actually resurrected James Woods' career back in the 90s, put him into a movie, and you know, they were buddies. And you know, so, and James Wood, you know, said, look, just because we had different politics and different views doesn't mean that we couldn't be friends. Now, he said that, and that is true, but boy, that's a tough one. Especially start talking about politics, start arguing about it. But, you know, it's so funny. Here's an interesting article that said, anything but God. Scientists are seriously asking if life on Earth was seeded by aliens. A recent BBC headline is certainly grabbing attention. Scientists are now seriously considering if humans were seeded by aliens. Here's why. Now I don't even need to read the article to know the ultimate reason why. Evolution. If life evolved here, it must have evolved elsewhere. How large and supposedly old our universe is. Now, this is the whole thing that was that one movie that came out a few years ago. So what was it when they had that one alien killed himself at the doggone stream and his seed fell into the water?
Prometheus.
Thank you, Rich.
Got it.
And what was interesting about that?
It was a prequel to Alien.
And then his DNA fell into the water, and then eventually, you know, we crawled out of the slime. First of all, that's all a lie. I cover all of this in Angel Wars. I talk about how God developed us, Jesus developed us, and built us in the Garden of Eden before, you know, and for man, and how we were created in God's image.
Somebody's got to put the phone on mute.
Well, no, I got to take this phone call. This is extremely rude. I'm going to walk out for a second.
What? You're leaving me hanging like that? All right, guys. Well, I'm back with you again here at the Brewer Show. Hope you guys are having a good one on that. I don't know what I should explain later. Well, this is an interesting article. You guys will like this. Some funny vehicle humor. Ford now has completely discontinued several EV models, including the F-150 Lightning. I covered this a couple weeks ago, but production on it has ceased to exist. Retooling has started. The truck is no more as the current setup on it. It says that $19.5 billion loss in the EV sector of Ford over the last few years as pivoting to hybrids now. This is nuts. And I mean, imagine that. When you take a truck that's supposed to be a truck, which is supposed to be able to tow, and you put a system in it that can only go 81 miles with a 20-foot airlight trailer on it. 81 miles. 81 miles. And remember, this truck was supposed to be the extended range, 300-mile range F-150, and that big YouTuber tested it, and the video went absolutely viral. Everyone went bonkers, and the truck sales went down very quickly. This is why consumer knowledge is so important with vehicles, and why vehicles in most cases shouldn't just be a purchase frivolously, especially if it's a more higher-end vehicle. It's, oh, you know what? I think it looks cool. I like the color. I saw an ad online. You really need to know when you start going into debt for a vehicle, you really need to know, even if you don't go into debt and you're buying it cash, you need to know what you're buying, what the resale value is going to be, what the depreciation schedule is going to look like, what the car is going to do in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Is it going to do what you want it to do? Is it going to be able to tow what you want it to do? Is it going to be able to drive the way you want it to drive? Do some research, because I have so many people over the years. Everybody knows I've been in the automotive industry for a decade, over more than that. And they ask me, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I'll give you my honest knowledge. I'll tell you, I don't know, or I'll give you a detailed analysis. And I told everybody from the very beginning that asked me about this, because everybody knows I'm in the trucks. They asked me about this F-150 Lightning. I said, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I said, the truck's going, got no place to go but down. And, you know, we went and looked at one for giggles a couple months ago, me and Dad did. I reluctantly rode in it. And it's pretty quick. It had some power to it. Nice, platinum spec. Nice. Ford's got nice interior. It was like $89,000 sticker, which I was shocked for an F-150. And, yeah, I looked it up and where's it sitting there. I pulled up 2023s, 22 and 23s, you know, with 10, 20,000 miles on them on CarGurus, and they were going for about $40,000 retail. And I said, that's a $50,000 drop in 2 years. I said, where's this supposed to go? Where's the floor on these? And they couldn't respond to me. But Ford now has apparently lost so much money in this EV sector. They're saying now that they're going to start bringing in F-150 hybrids coming to the market by 2027 and 2028 now. And I've told you guys before, the hybrid systems I haven't had as much of an issue with, because they can actually be very fuel efficient. And if they're built right, Toyota Prius, which I'm not a big Prius fan, however, the technology of the Prius has dialed in very well. And they've had the ability now to get vehicles that get, you know, 50, 60 plus miles per gallon, and still have the ability to never have to plug into a wall. The plugging into a wall outlet and having to put thousands, or actually more than hundreds of thousands of charging stations across the entire country is one of the dumbest ideas I've ever watched in human existence when it's come to the automotive industry, due to the cost and what it does to the grid infrastructure. You know, I told you guys one of the good dealerships we know over at the Chevy dealership over in Plant City, they're forced by GM to put a minimum of 2 charging stations in at their dealership. Minimum of 2 in order to be able to service the new EVs. And this was like 3 or 4 years ago during COVID. They ended up having to spend, I think it was either $1.6 or $1.8 million out of pocket. By the way, the dealership had to pay for it. $1.6 or $1.8 million. I don't remember the exact number. It was right around there, high ones, million, to put in these 2 charging stations. And the reason why the price went so up is they had to do a whole nother like substation grid off the other substation that was down the road in order to be able to push the power all the way to this charging station at the side of the parking lot. And it was a giant fiasco. And now they're discontinuing a lot of these models because nobody wants them anymore. And so you got to ask yourself the question. Now they're saying a lot of these battery systems that Ford has manufactured. Remember, Ford put together an entire EV battery plant from scratch in Kentucky just to produce these trucks and other EV vehicles on their model line. And now apparently they're scrapping these batteries and selling them, they said, to the AI data centers. That's a part that I'm going to do more research into, because I'm really curious, because as they're saying, we can't charge the cars and the grid's having issues and all these different things that are happening, but yet we're putting these AI data centers in to the point now with so much heavy metal, as far as precious metals, with platinum and silver, and also the not palladium, copper, that's coming in and out of these systems. They're having to put full security contractors at a lot of these AI data centers. I mean, 24/7 armed security everywhere now when they bring these systems in because of how much precious metals involved with these platforms going together. And so you got to ask yourself the question, for what purpose? You know, I was talking to a friend of mine last night. And he was talking about how some of these companies are laying people off. And, you know, pretty much if these jobs can be ran into AI, whether they're computing, whether data analysis, whether they're running numbers, a lot of people now are going to this AI model. The problem with this AI model is it's being looked upon and it's being funded through BlackRock and State Street with these massive, massive amounts of money in the S&P 500, with NVIDIA and everything. They're looking at AI as it's the end-all, be-all. Well, if you guys recall, 5-6 years ago, EV was the end-all, be-all. Remember, it was the end all. It doesn't matter, by 2030 in California, you won't be able to buy a gas-powered vehicle because everything's going to be sold EV. How's that working out for everybody now? Now they've pushed that back out. Now manufacturers are dropping their model lines. So when you start looking at this technology and you got these illusions of grandeur.
Well, it's not even the illusions of grandeur. What happened with the EV is the people who are running the planet didn't allow for the overlap to happen properly. They don't have the infrastructure for charging these vehicles in place.
No, it's not. That's why I just talked about the show. It wasn't there. You know, Stingray. They had to spend almost $2 million to put those couple charging stations in. And now it's like nobody even uses them.
You know, what blows my mind is that how sometimes you don't realize the overall expense of things has gotten so high.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the other day I was going to have a shower replaced, right? A shower. And the guys came in to do the tile, and they gave me a bid. And it was insanely expensive.
Well, nothing's been the same since COVID. I mean, I was able to build my house. I got my CO, remember, July 2020.
But no, the shower was $5,000.
No, yeah.
No, that's just labor. That's not including material. Just to pull the old shower out, put a new shower in, and it's not like it's
a lot of retiling.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still, though, it's just, you know, you ask yourself, and I'm not saying that the guys aren't worth it. I'm just saying it's not worth it to me because I'll keep it.
It's the cost of doing business now, man. When you dump $7 trillion into the markets in 1 year like they did during COVID, everything becomes expensive. I mean, you see these. I mean, look at Publix and all that. All their $10 a dozen eggs still over there. People still buy them.
Well, they find out what the market will bear.
Yeah, that's what they've done now with a lot of these markets. And that's what they tried to do with the F-150 Lightning, and it's been an abysmal failure now. $19.5 billion write-down. On all the EVs.
Well, that's why all the Ford F-250s or 2500 series have all gone through the roof.
Oh, yeah. Well, he said that. The CEO said that. He said the EVs are such a loss. Our main sellers are F-series, actual F-150, the real ones in the Super Duties, are subsidizing the entire EV sector. That's what everybody did. When you bought a Ford, you were paying to keep these pieces of crap on the road. And now the thing that sucks is now it goes, for what cause? What was the end game?
Well, now they've discontinued them. The value of these vehicles have just fallen through the floor. Nobody's going to want them. What's going to happen? You're going to trade it back in. They're going to go, we don't want it.
No.
The sales guys are going to run for the roof.
Well, I went by one of the big Ford dealerships the other day, drove through there, and there were hardly any Lightnings. They're all gone now. They've either liquidated them or sent them back or dumped them, but they're legitimately not making them and not sending any more in. They're done. Because, I mean, that for the longest time, over the summer, I stopped by one, and there was probably 40 or 50 of them. I just wrote every color, every model, every make, every spec.
I just don't know how they got rid of them because they didn't get that big of a doggone rebate on them.
The only things I could think of is either you had Ford do some type of buyback on them or they did a fleet program with them for certain cities or something. They went in and said, listen, we'll just sell you guys things for like way under cost just to get them out.
We looked at getting one, Austin. It was $1,500 a month.
The lease.
The lease.
Went money down. I know, just to play around with
it. No, it was a complete waste of money.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Trump is now filing a lawsuit against the BBC.
And he did that.
This is the big one. This is $10 billion.
He's suing everybody for sure.
Well, you know, Candace Owens says that's what people do. They get mad at you. They just sue you.
That's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we'll shut you up. They're going to sue you. He's filed a $10 billion lawsuit against the BBC after the embattled corporation was found to have doctored his speech in a Panorama episode. The lawsuit filed in the Southern District of Florida includes one count of defamation and one count of violating a Florida trade practices law. Trump's legal team is demanding $5 billion in damages for each count. In a 33-page complaint, attorneys for the president accused the BBC of publishing false, defamatory, deceptive, disparaging, inflammatory, malicious depiction of him. That was fabricated. They actually video edited him, Austin.
And made like AI almost? Oh, or
well,
like
no, they actually edited his entire speech to make him say what they wanted him to say.
Can't be doing all that.
I remember years ago, I used to do a lot of podcasts. Well, they weren't podcasts, and they were actually live radio and TV shows. And I was okay with TV if it was taped because it was very difficult back then to edit it. But the radio, you had to be so careful, son, when you do these things because they would edit you.
I remember you used to tell me that. They take snippets.
Yeah. And like, for instance, you talk about, you know, your Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program. You talk about the top 10 foods never to eat, and you'd go into detail on what to do as far as how to stay healthy, et cetera, et cetera. And all of a sudden, you'd listen to it later, and the entire thing had your entire information deleted. In other words, if you had basically gone in and given out an 800 number to call the office to order a copy of the Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program, it was gone. It was gone. They took it out. It wasn't there anymore. And I remember one time I had a TV crew come in. I believe they're out of St. Louis or maybe out of Ohio someplace. I can't remember anymore. And they actually brought a crew down to my office in Auburndale. And they set it up. And they gave me their word they were going to do this, this, and this, and this. And they ate up a whole day for like a 20-minute segment. They had like two or three cameras in there. It was crazy. And they gave me their word they would leave the 800 number in. And, of course, they edited it out. And that means, and back then we didn't have an internet, so there was no way to contact her to look me up. And if I called them up, and I said, you guys deleted it. You gave me your word. Yeah, we know. Sue us.
Sue us.
And yeah. I'm like, why would I want to sue you? You gave me, well, it doesn't matter. We're not going to do that. We're not giving that. We never do that. We just tell everybody we do. We don't do it. And I'm like, this is awful. And see, that was the problem with the digital editing. They could literally make you say anything by taking snippets of your speech or yep. your talk or your talk podcast or your radio show, and they could put it back together again. And now with AI, they can make you say anything that they want to make you say by just, you know, digitizing
your
voice.
That's the crazy part now with AI.
Look at that thing with Tom Cruise a few years ago when they actually had him walking around talking. And everybody thought it was Tom Cruise, and Tom Cruise said, that's not me. I mean, I didn't do all this. And you start thinking to yourself, well, okay, what is he going to say next? That's the problem with AI, Austin. And that's the problem
exactly
with all
right.
of this stuff. But, you know, it is crazy. It really is.
Well, then you got these issues that are popping up. And, you know, I guess the same things start happening weirder and weirder now. And I'm not going to cover this a lot because a lot of people have already seen it on here. But this whole thing that happened in Australia over the weekend with this shooting, these guys with these bolt-action rifles. And, again, my condolences to anybody that was actually injured or killed in the shooting. The thing that doesn't make any sense to me about it is that they're now saying that Australia needs to have stricter gun laws. Anybody that's not well-versed on Australia should be well aware that Australia in 1996 banned all personal firearms that were defensive use.
I'm going to say one thing here. I'm going to say one more thing. It's probably going to make everybody mad. I don't care at this point anymore. This is probably Mossad.
Well, you know, the thing that's very strange about this.
This whole thing's messed up.
Well, no. And then you have the guy that I covered it earlier. I talked to somebody about it. You got this guy that basically now has this video photo. If you guys saw this, the one guy, the victim that has a time to take a selfie photo while he's on the ground bleeding out. He also happened to be one of the same victims that survived October 7th as well.
You know,
they're just saying it. Bondi victim attacked, basically bloodbath. Man who escaped October 7th Hamas attack injured on Bondi Beach shooting recounts the shooting. I mean, he's got time to get photos of himself after he got shot again a second time and happened to survive. This guy needs to play the lottery.
I'm just gonna say it again. It's just Mossad because now the narrative is going to be everybody has to hate Muslims again.
No, yeah.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit here and defend Muslims because the Muslims do some pretty crazy stuff against Christians and Jews in Africa all
There's
the
no
time.
Question about that.
There's no question about that. But when you see something that gets this kind of media coverage and it's all Jews who were killed, I mean, how do we know they were Jews? How did the shooter know they were Jews? How do we know they even got shot? How do we know this all is a computer-generated imagery? How do we know any of this stuff anymore? And that's the problem that we have, isn't it, Austin? But all of a sudden, we've got to keep the narrative going about, oh, it's all about the Holocaust, about the persecution of Jews.
No, it is. We've got to remember, there's a lot of flack that's been going on right now with what's been going on with Palestine.
And with Charlie Kirk.
On. Hell yeah, with all the stuff that's going on. Now, I mean, Candace Owens has been hammering as far as bringing this stuff up. How strange a lot of these anomalies have been now with Erica and how her dad basically worked on the Raytheon missile program with Israel. Her background's very strange.
We had the whole thing with Candace Owens the other day. She was on with that one guy who became a Christian.
Russell Brand.
And I listened to the video the other day. I went up to St. Augustine. I went to see the lights up there in St. Augustine. And we stopped at that big alligator thing up there with those crocodiles. Those are big animals.
16-foot croc.
Man, big animals. And the crazy part about it all is, you know, they're talking about how Sigmund Freud was a pedophile.
Yeah.
And how he was, you know, he's on cocaine, how he had gotten raped when he was a child.
Yep.
And a lot of these Jewish people for some reason, because of their baby Babylonian Talmud, they end up getting themselves raped when they're really young, and it really messes them up mentally. And she was saying how a lot of them go into the psychiatry profession to try to unravel the mess they've got with themselves, and they basically control the psychiatry profession, and they end up giving people drugs that don't need drugs. And then they end up basically messing up an entire generation of people with really bad advice from a psychiatric standpoint and drugs. And that goes back to pharmakia, doesn't it? Which we talked about in the Old Testament and what they do with that. And I'm not saying that all psychiatrists are Jew. I'm not Jewish. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that all Jewish psychiatrists are bad. I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying that Candace Owens pointed out a lot of this. And then Edward Bernays, which we've covered together on the show many times, was also Sigmund Freud's cousin. He was the father of marketing and advertising, and he pushes people to buy product by product by product from a psychological standpoint. And he kind of tag teamed with Sigmund Freud. And these two were a couple of Kabbalist, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan perverts is what they were. And so all of this stuff is part of what she talked about on that show and how bad it is.
I told you it was a good episode.
It was a very good episode. And, you know, and Russell Brand is a very strong Christian now, apparently, by what he's saying. And, and Candace Owens are talking. But I would love to do that show because I could go into a lot more detail than they did.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can tell she was just scratching the top of the iceberg on it. She does a lot more, and she's very well-versed. And that's why they're going after her so aggressive right now. And, you know, she's bringing up a lot of questions that, for some odd reason, nobody wants to even attempt to answer. You know, if I was in Erica Kirk or in that position over in that platform, and you had somebody, basically your husband got killed, why in the world aren't you asking these questions? Why is it just this closed book, done deal, don't ask questions, I don't know, I got to go on this book tour now and make a $150 million contract? I mean, why is it all of a sudden now all of a sudden Charlie Kirk is not even being addressed as anything other than just, this is memoir, this is what he wanted us to talk about. And she's acting very, very odd, and now suddenly everything she's bringing up is Jewish all the time now. Talking about how when he came home, Shalom Shabbat, when he got home, Daddy's home. And I'm like, Charlie Kirk was not Jewish at all. He was a staunch Christ follower, period. He was very vocal about that.
A lot of people have accused her of being an Israeli honeypot.
I'm not going to say that, but there's a lot of strange things about the whole Romanian angel program that she had under her name when she was 17 years old that basically got shut down for child trafficking. Allegedly, her entire family was involved in military contracts.
Well, let's say it this way. Let's say you're 17 years old and somebody put your name on a major organization doing major wrong things, and now they've got major blackmail information on you. And I'm not saying it's her. I'm just saying in general. And all of a sudden now it's like, now you get a little bit older. They say, well, if you don't want us to release this information on you, you're going to go over here and date this other guy.
Well, and she gets out of college, gets her real estate license, and immediately works for the real estate firm in New York that handles all of Jeffrey Epstein's houses for sale, even in Miami and Palm Beach. I mean, you can look that up. It's documented. That was her soon as she got a real estate license, she went to work for them. So you got to start asking some questions. There's a lot of stuff that's interwoven with her lifestyle that Charlie Kirk had nothing to do with. You see, I mean, he was like homeschooled. He was really, really staunch Christian. Everything he did was about Christ. And now suddenly he was, and I told you guys from the very beginning, what he was doing was he was bringing up questions and topics and discussions and rebuttals and open topics in person they couldn't control with AI algorithm.
He did exactly what Mancow said you can't do.
He went up the middle.
He supported Israel. He's against Israel. He asked good questions about Israel. He asked bad questions about Israel. He went down the middle and said, okay, why are we doing this? Why are we supporting this? And that's what they will not allow you to do that and give you huge amounts of money. Because what happens is they're not going to give you the nod. They would never give me and Austin the nod.
Yeah.
We're too uncontrollable. We're like a loose cannon on deck. They don't know what to do with us. You know, that's all they can do is just down-regulate our algorithms and not let you find us. That's all they can do. Well, they do. I mean, we had that one time. You know, we do 130,000 listeners a day, and we finally tried to fix it. And we tried to check it. It was down to 7,000.
Yeah, at one point it was down to 2,000.
Well, yeah, because you couldn't find it, and that's why we had to go branch out to all these other platforms, and they still down-regulate all those. That Russell Crowe and Candace Owens should have had 50 million views.
Oh, it should have gone viral. It would have.
At a couple thousand.
Well, remember the first interview that Tucker Carlson did that wasn't cut down on there? That first interview he did off Fox, and it got like 7 million views in a couple days or whatever because the algorithm hadn't caught him yet? Yep. That's what happens with it. But you know, there's been people that I've talked to, and again, this is total speculation, is that Charlie Kirk was being set up to run in a high-end politics position in the near future. And then basically,
he'd probably be president.
And then Erica was basically going to be the handler for the whole situation. And again, that's pure speculation.
I can give you the name of another person who's a top evangelical person who basically has his handler too.
Yeah.
I can give you the name.
And a lot of people, and I don't want to go into full detail. You know more about this than I do. A lot of these situations, when you get these individuals that are put in these positions, they have people that are involved with them, as you specifically say, that are handlers. And it may not be a wife, may not be a husband, maybe a friend, maybe this or that, but they're there to keep them inside the railroad track so they don't go in the wrong direction.
They don't go off the rails. Mm-hmm. Speaking about going off the rails, here's a good segue. Heart surgeon says there are four foods that are actively poisoning you, including healthy choices that are as bad as alcohol.
Whoa.
This is a good article. A top heart surgeon has revealed the foods and drinks that he avoids actively poisoning your body. This kind of reminds me of, you know, the top 10 foods never to eat and why there are certain foods that you never put into your body, ever put them in there at all because they're so toxic. He says, number one, he says you got to stay away from the junk food because almost all of the real foods, you know, are loaded with saturated fats and sugars, which can be clog arteries and lead to heart disease. He says fast food is, this is the junk foods, my top 10 list of foods never to eat. He says you got to avoid it. Second, he says don't drink sodas or diet sodas.
There you go. I say it all the time.
You know, so funny. I've been talking about this for so long now, I feel like a broken record. He says he also warned against both regular diet soda drinks. He says artificial sweeteners are liquid death due to their health risk.
They are.
He says a typical 12-ounce soda contains 40 grams of added sugar, about the same as four Krispy Kreme donuts.
That's one.
That's one.
One. One 12-ounce soda is like eating four Krispy Kreme soda. Or Krispy Kreme
I would oh so much rather have the Krispy Kreme donut.
I eat one. I've eaten one donut. I'm fine. Yeah.
The daily sugar limit of the U.S. is 50 grams. Sugar increases blood pressure, cholesterol, et cetera. And he goes into detail. He said how you would need to avoid that. He also said that artificial sweeteners, you know, 18% greater risk of stroke and 9% greater risk of developing heart disease. And they massively elevate blood pressure. He says milk products such as chocolate and cheese are also out of the question. I remember high-fat dairy products was on my list.
This is also processed, though.
Due to high saturated fat content, though some studies suggest fermented dairy such as yogurt may lower heart disease risk. He says, we are the only mammals that drink milk outside of infancy, and we drink it from another species. Think about that. He's right. Milk can be high in saturated fat, which raises cholesterol through research and heart disease, is mixed. And then he goes into detail about, he goes, alcohol. There you go. That was number 10 on my top 10 list. He says, alcohol is absolutely toxic to every cell in our bodies and says even moderate occasional use can raise the risks of heart disease risk. He says long-term drinking has shown to damage the heart muscle, a condition called cardiomyopathy, which weakens the organ over time. Drinking also increases blood pressure levels, hormone and LA's cortisol, which raises heart rates and blood pressure rates, putting more and wear tear on the heart. It also increases the risks of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, and breast cancer. And it massively increases the risks of problems with magnesium deficiencies because it flushes them out, including increasing the risk of tachycardia. I've seen this over and over and over. I have a good friend of mine, drank his whole life, having all kinds of problems with his heart now.
Yeah.
And then they put him on beta blockers. I told you the story. You know, I see him. He's got blue lips. He can't even breathe anymore. He's shaking and trembling. He's slurring his words. And you're like, what the heck happened to you? But he wouldn't stop drinking the alcohol.
Well, and I've said this before. That's why I don't recommend it because it is a neurotoxin. But if you are on a rare occasion for something going to use alcohol at a party, make sure you're detoxifying your body with the GHI cleanse. Get it out of your system and replenish your body as soon as possible and let your body come back to homeostasis.
Well, you know, the thing about it strips
magnesium out. I mean, it completely strips magnesium out of the body. That's one of the reasons why it causes so many issues with high blood pressure.
And with the heart.
Yep. Yeah.
But you know, it's just, and you know, the thing about alcohol, it's an unbelievably addictive product.
It is.
I remember years ago when that stupid French paradox story came out. That's total lies. For French have a lower incidence of heart disease because they drink red wine. No, the French don't use trans fats and hydrogenated oils. The French don't go out and eat huge amounts of sugar.
Mostly they eat salmon and olive oil and stuff.
You know, yesterday I was at a really nice restaurant you had for breakfast, and I asked for some of the wild salmon.
Yeah.
And, of course, they didn't have it.
No.
They didn't have
very, very few restaurants, unless they're really high-end restaurants, have actually wild-caught salmon.
And I told them, I said, well, why don't you just charge extra for it? If you have $4 or $5 extra, it's okay. I don't mind. Just let me have some wild salmon instead of this farm-raised stuff that's filled with parasites.
It is disgusting.
It's disgusting. I mean, you have to put pink dye in it. You'll put it on a white plate, and you'll see it start bleeding pink dye.
Well, yeah, because farm-raised salmon's white.
Oh, yeah.
It turns into white fish.
They feed it basically catfish food.
Yeah, there are, because they normally shrimp. That's why they get that pinkish hue from the minerals and nutrients they get from being basically out in the wild. When you farm raise it, they feed it. It's like dog food. It's cat food.
And they have to put color. I remember one time when I was at the Sheraton over there on the beach in Clearwater.
Yeah.
And they have this little, you know, place where you go up there and have like lunch or whatever, because you're, if you have like your Platinum with Marriott. And I remember I put it on my plate and also have this red goo coming out of it. And that was the first time I ever noticed that. I'm like, what the heck is this? It's bleeding.
It's bleeding. Yeah. They put Red 40 in it.
Yeah.
Or the other form of dye.
Oh, well, maybe not be Red 40, some other form. Yeah.
But it's like bad enough. It's like it's already wild. It's already farm raised. Yeah. It's already loaded with parasites and toxins. Now we got to add food coloring on top
of it. Well, because it's gray.
Yeah, it is. It's a gray white fish. Yeah, it's what it looks like. It's gray. It's like silver almost.
No, yeah, so you have to ask about this. But no, it's funny to me. The heart surgery reveals four foods that all four were on my top 10 list of foods never to eat.
Well, the biggest thing, going back to the dairy, especially if you have kids, really watch this stuff now, because I'm reading more and more reports of how bad this it's called ultra-pasteurized. They're doing it to all the organic milk, all of it in the store. That I did an entire segment on it, the show, last year, because I didn't know what it was either. And I said, I know what pasteurized is. I know homogenization is.
Doesn't go bad.
What the heck is ultra-pasteurized? And they run them across. It's like 260-degree stainless steel plates.
They kill everything.
It wipes out every living. Because remember, the main reason why dairy has any benefits, actual raw, true, cultured dairy, like kefir, is because of the probiotic value to it. Even organic, whole, grass-fed organic milk that's full raw, it's got a lot of different probiotics to it, a lot of different nutrients to it, and digestive enzymes. When you strip all that away and you kill every living thing in it, all you have is a bunch of denatured protein milk. There's nothing in it. And so the body can't process the dairy and the lactase. It can't do it. Your body can't handle it. You're drinking a dead fluid that's basically can be on the shelf for months and months on end. They've done this now to extend the shelf life on all dairy. That's why a lot of the milk now at the stores is ultra-pasteurized. Even if you let it sit out, even if it goes past its shelf life, in most cases, it won't curdle. It won't go bad. They have milk now, ultra-pasteurized milk, that's box milk. It's shelf milk. It doesn't have to be refrigerated. You put it on the shelf and just let it sit there for months and months on end. Don't put that in your body.
You know, it's so funny. One of my best friends, my college roommate, my attorney, John Parvin, said to me a couple of years ago, he said, you know, why is it, man, you were doing these seminars 30 years ago telling everybody the stuff they're learning now. He says, you were so far ahead of the curve on this. And I said, well, that's why I took so much flack for it.
Yeah.
But I was a pioneer in that. In fact, when I wrote that book on ADD and autism, that was 25 years ago, I talked about the vaccines. And that point, I said, you got to stay away from this stuff. This stuff is too toxic. But the problem is that, you know, when you have a change that happens like that, when you have to change an entire paradigm like you have to with thinking about this kind of stuff, it takes a minute to do it because of the entrenched dogma. It really does, because when you're taught your entire life as a medical doctor all the way through medical school, the vaccines are good. You have to be pretty open-minded to be able to read an article and start reading more articles about how bad they are and reprogram yourself and say, hey, I was misled with this. I was lied to. And a lot of doctors don't do that. And that's the crazy thing with this hepatitis stuff, Austin, these hepatitis shots.
Yep.
They're so poisonous, so toxic to a newborn infant. They're completely unnecessary. And I've been screaming about those things for the last 30 years. And now all of a sudden people are saying, hey, you know, we can't let this off the shot schedule. It's because why?
Yep.
Who is making? Always follow the money. You follow the money, you find out who's in charge. It really, really
speaking of following the money, we figured this is going to happen. As if the, you know, eight different, between the battleships and carriers and everything else out in the Caribbean weren't enough. As if blowing up all the boats that are running drugs, which I'm not opposed to stopping those guys. However, I think just blowing up boats at random because they're allegedly running dope with, you know, surface to air missiles or for drone strikes is a bit strange. Or taking over tankers. Hunting season opens. 18 sanctioned tankers now lurking in Venezuela waters. Bum, bum, bum. Kid you not now, the latest report from Axios shows the Trump administration seizure of the shadow fleet tanker in the Caribbean is only the beginning. 18 sanctioned oil-laden ships now are currently in Venezuelan waters. Last week, the U.S. Special Forces seized the tanker Skipper, which is carrying crude oil. And I told you guys jokingly, they're probably going to be like, oh, we found fentanyl in the oil now. Even though Venezuela's not been shown to have any fentanyl production whatsoever, now they have to change the narrative. You noticed that, right? 6 months ago, they were screaming at the top of the lungs that fentanyl, or basically Venezuela was like the largest fentanyl producer in the world. They're running fentanyl the country. The fentanyl epidemic we're running in the United States is all from Venezuela. It's a complete lie. It's a 100% lie. I've talked to guys that are contractors. There is no evidence whatsoever that Venezuela produces fentanyl. at all, period. Well, now, what do? They've got crude oil now. It's been blacklisted. They're not allowed to sell oil to basically certain people that we've deemed necessary. So the tanker was part of a dark fleet now shipping Venezuela oil to Cuba and onward to Asia. And now they've listed 18 different tankers now that they want to go seize. If this isn't a direct act of war, I don't know what it is. And I've had some of my friends I know that are hardcore MAGA. They go, oh, yeah, we got to stop Venezuela. What's Venezuela doing? What are they actually doing? That's my question. Well, they're running dope. Okay, you may have some factions of some narco guys in Venezuela running dope. Is Maduro involved in it, allegedly? What else are they doing? Well, they don't have a central reserve bank. Ah, there you go. They're one of the last countries on the entire planet that do not have a central reserve bank controlled by Rothschild, period. Do your research. There's Venezuela, there's Cuba, there's North Korea, there's Iran. I think those are the last four. There may be one more on that list. That's it. And of course, every single one of those countries is deemed a terrorist now. Am I saying they're good countries? No. Am I saying the regimes are good there? No. Am I supporting them? No. But what I am saying is this. Ask the question, why suddenly is Venezuela the deep, dark terrorist selling oil now to other countries, and we have to go in and basically start seizing all of their oil? This gets old because if you've listened to this narrative, you're old enough now, you remember what happened in the Iraq war. You remember what happened in Afghanistan. You remember what's happened with Syria. You remember what's happened with Libya. The list goes down the line. And so now 18 tankers are on the list of the black, shadowy, dark list now to be seized by the U.S. government that are running around transferring oil. This isn't going to stop. This is obviously a more ominous play to control Venezuela, control the resources, and put a central reserve bank in. The last four I told you, Cuba, Venezuela, North Korea, and Iran, they're not controlled by Rothschild, and clearly you see now Venezuela's next on the chopping block.
Now, I've got a question to ask you. You know, this is just piracy.
In my opinion.
Now, I mean, this is just piracy on the high seas. I mean, you got a sovereign nation. We don't like the president. Right, because he's not listening to the CIA handlers.
That's exactly what's happening.
And so what happens is, the problem with it is they use the United States currency down there pretty much to get things done. We've already contracted their currency supply, so they can't even run their refineries. But yet they're the largest oil nation in the world.
Correct.
And now all of a sudden we decide to pick up 18 of their tankers. Where are we going to put them?
And then on top of that, though, to what degree? What's the end game? Obviously, there's another. And that's why I said a minute ago, remember, they were the largest fentanyl producer in the world 6 months ago. Now suddenly we go, we haven't won fentanyl seizure. We can't find any fentanyl in Venezuela.
Kind of sounds like Saddam Hussein.
Oh, they've got oil now. They're selling to terrorists.
Well, remember, Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction.
Guys, newsflash. We give billions of dollars of cash to terrorists in the Middle East every single year through the CIA programs. Cash, weapons, surfaced air missiles, heavy machine guns. Every single year, we're directly involved in arming terrorists. That's not conjecture or speculation. That's fact. Look it up. I've talked to the contractors that have personally done it, been on the ground. This is the whole ironic part of it now. Suddenly, Venezuela is selling oil to terrorists, and now we've got to start seizing all their oil tankers.
Well, you know, what's crazy about all this stuff, when you look at it and you look at the actual numbers on it, you start to realize that, you know, somebody's running the show here. And, you know, Brown University came out with a study the other day about all the billions and tens, hundreds of billions of dollars that we give to basically Israel every year, and suddenly one of their top people at Brown gets shot.
Yeah. I saw it too. I haven't done enough research on it. I was gone over the weekend, that whole Brown University shooting. Mm-hmm. Very, very odd. And at the same time, this is interesting, CNN even covered this. The FDA tends to put a black box warning on the COVID vaccine. This was on Friday and over the weekend. FDA said, we're black boxing it. They said, we're putting a black box warning on the COVID-19 vaccines. This is the strongest form of warning possible. This morning, you guys are going to love this. FDA retracts not adding black box warning to the COVID-19 vaccines now. Suddenly, overnight, we're not doing a black box warning. The FDA said we are now not adding a black box warning to the COVID vaccines, even though the agency said it needs to be done. On December 15th, which is yesterday, FDA Commissioner Marty Makary said we're no longer doing a black box warning. When it comes to black box warning, we have no plans to put on the COVID vaccine now. This is strange because, quite frankly, I've never witnessed the FDA come out and say we're black boxing a drug because it's so dangerous. And 3 days later, they come out and say we're not black boxing it now. Clearly, somebody got in conversation with somebody.
Operation Warp Speed, bud.
Yeah. too much liability if they black box it.
Well, it's not even that. It's Donald Trump's baby.
Well, this is DOD, buddy. This is black op money.
This is Donald.
This is DARPA.
This is Donald Trump's baby, the COVID vaccine. And he said, I've saved millions of lives with the COVID vaccine.
He did. Operation Warp Speed. It's a military op.
And so
we're rushing an RNA gene therapy shot to market that DARPA built, that the FDA said you cannot do human trials with this drug, with this technology in 2018 because it is too dangerous to human beings. You cannot do trials on it. 2020 came about, standard operating procedure. Everybody gets a COVID shot.
Everybody always does their back shuffle trying to figure out how to reduce liability exposure.
Well, yeah. I can guarantee
now,
you.
Now that we can't put a black box warning on it, we had executive warning on the. Well, no, we had executive
emergency use authorization.
Oh, by the way, this is I read this article and it's complete crap. I'm going to read it to you, part of it. Inside the white supremacist compound, hiding in plain sight. Okay, this is in East Tennessee.
Here we go.
at the east of a winding dirt road, a mother glances into the woods. She roamed as a child. It's a deep and dramatic vista, a patchwork of pines and oaks disappearing into an endless Blue Ridge mountain range. Sounds beautiful, doesn't it? We used to ride four-wheelers all through the woods, said the woman, who spoke to CNN on a condition of anonymity for fear of her safety. We had secret hiding places. We'd just go on for hours. Our parents wouldn't even know where we were, but things are different now. I'm afraid to let my kids do the same things I did, said the mother of three, who sternly warns her children, whatever you do, don't go to that side, because you know what they're going to do.
Oh my gosh.
They're making all of us scared to leave our houses. The woman is fearful of her new neighbors, a collection of white supremacists associated with the group Patriot Front.
Patriot Front.
The group is one of the most active white national societies in the U.S. Members of the organization, which the Southern Poverty Law Center, Jewish-controlled, has designated a hate group. Hold rallies with hundreds of people in cities. Oh, hundreds. Whoa, hundreds. That's like a block of 10 by 20 people. That's hundreds, little group there standing in a room. Okay. Now CNN has tracked the group's progress in building an Appalachian base on a 124-acre compound with no barbed wire, with no restrictions, with no towers, with nothing there except for a few buildings. Over the course of the months-long reporting, pictures emerged of the radical characters involved with the property, including a notorious neo-Nazi and a pagan mixed martial arts MMA fighter. You know, when you read this stuff, this is pure. It's written very well. And by the way, I can read it out loud. It's whoever the writer was did a nice job. But our reporting has also highlighted a deepening division. Their presence is stirred among nearby residents. They actually have fights there, like boxing matches.
Oh, God forbid. God forbid they have fights.
I can take you to all kinds of karate dos in Polk County right now.
Fight all the time.
They're part of a broader network, said Daryl Johnson, a former senior analyst at the Department of Homeland Security and Domestic Extremism report told CNN. Whether it's rallies or whether they have closed meetings or fight clubs, they can rub shoulders with members from other groups. The worst case scenario. I'm going to stop reading this. I've posted it.
I was about to say.
Okay. They want you to be a white European heritage to be part of this. Here's the thing. Miss Black America. Oh, they used to have that. Whether they still have it or not, I don't know. Or Mrs. America. Or, Miss White America. Oh, that's right. They don't do that. You know, why is it that you could have a basic Hispanic group that has a Hispanic-only club or a black group that has only black people in it? Or whatever else you have, private club, private this, private that. But if you have a private group of guys wanting to be from Europe, it's okay. It's not okay. Now, I'm not saying I endorse these people. I don't even know these people. I just read this article. But the point is, why don't we just leave everybody alone? If they were doing meetings out there like Bohemian Grove.
Oh, there you go.
And they're burning people in effigy in front of a giant owl and Satan standing and chanting out satanic slogans in the forest, in the Redwood Forest in California. Why don't we make that headline news with CNN?
Or, you know, the dozens upon dozens of top-tier political figures that went down to this island on this one guy's jet to hang out with minors that had child-sized dental chairs and rooms by itself with masks all over the wall? You guys have seen the Epstein photos from the private island down there. Why don't we figure out what's going on with those guys?
Well, how about the Muslim training centers they have all over the United States?
Oh, yeah.
Why do we got to pick on white Christian nationalists?
What about in Dearborn, Michigan? You can't even walk around as a Christian and proselytize or talk about anything now. You've seen the videos up there in Dearborn. They'll literally, you'll get in giant fist fights. Muslims go there and start beating you to death.
You know, here's the thing with Muslims, all right? Some of the people I know that are Muslims are really nice people. They really are. Some of the Jews that I know are really nice people. They really are. And some of the Christians I know are really nice people. But there's extremists in every single group of Christians, Muslims, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, everybody else. And they're weirdos. They're just weirdos. There are a lot of them involved with cult activity, other kind of crazy stuff. Look at the stuff at Bohemian Grove, like I mentioned just a few seconds ago, and what's going on with there. Look at all the other things that are involved with all of these sects, these Christian sects that are nothing but cults, who deny the deity of Jesus Christ, who basically say you can have 45 wives, it's good. You know, and they run around all based on Masonic lodge rituals.
Yep.
I mean, all of this crazy stuff. And you think, you know, Jim Jones, all the rest of this. You know, if you want to find somebody who's doing something wrong, go find them. But don't go picking on somebody because they have fight clubs. You know, I mean, we use karate stuff all the time.
Everybody's got to be combat effective if you're a male. If you're not, you're easy to kill.
Well, they make you. They teach their men how to be combat effective and be real men. So, I mean,
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm not endorsing them. I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just saying that why do they make a big deal about these group when they only bring a couple hundred people? They're not bringing 20 or 30,000 into a rally. This isn't Nuremberg.
This isn't Dearborn, Michigan. And they got doggone prayer bells now up there. And they shut down the whole city multiple times a day up there in Dearborn. I mean, it's nuts. Nuts, the whole area up there. I mean, it's completely and totally taken over. But, I mean, look at UK. Look at England. You see the videos, England. They just shut down entire streets to go out on the ground and pray. Everybody has to, you know, cater to them now.
And here's an interesting article from the Steve Dysoe. It says, it's not politics, it's spiritual war, and the church is still sitting on the sidelines. Steve Dysoe interviews former Senator Jim DeMint on the new book that demands Christians finally decide, is the Bible actually true, or will we keep losing the culture to the rival religion of progressivism? I have a friend of mine that he's a pilot. He's like, you know him too, Austin. I'm not going to mention any names. And he goes, well, I believe in progressivism. I said, progressive to what? To sliding down the slips of hell? I mean, where's progressive stop? And you know, it's unbelievable. He says, never has it been more obvious in politics or spiritual nature. The partisan battles over authority, morality, justice, life, and truth can no longer mask the supernatural war raged between good and evil in the unseen realm. Although the great war has already been won through Christ, the forces of good often lose earthly battles because Christians refuse to enter the fray. Progressives have a zeal and a commitment to their doctrine more ferocious than the majority of Christians these days. He's right. Christians will allow their God, Jesus Christ, the Most High God, you know, the Triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, to be vilified. And the sinners not say anything about it. Or they'll say, you can pray. This happened. I had a friend of mine. She's a medical doctor. She was asked to clothe, pray at a commencement service many years ago. And they said, whatever you do, you cannot say in Jesus' name.
Mary, tell me that.
And I told her, I said, are you going to do this? I mean, I said, they can't stop you when you have the microphone in your hand. They can't censor you. And she basically did not use Jesus' name. And I told her, I said, shame on you. I said, what are they going to do? Tell you not to pray again? Okay, that's great. Who cares? But the problem is when we step back and we don't stand forth for God and Jesus, let me ask you a question. If you were asked if you're a Christian, can you present enough evidence to prove that you really are? Can you quote enough scripture as to why you're a Christian? Can you talk about who God is and who Jesus is? Have you got the ability to do that? Are you praying every day? Are you reading your Bible every day? Are you doing things that you need to do in order to learn what the Word of God says? I mean, what are you doing as far as from a Christian standpoint? You know, I used to read my Bible. I still do read my Bible. I read through the New Testament hundreds of times, and I read through the Old Testament multiple times. I read through the whole Bible multiple times from front to back. And the thing always sticks out to me is the Old Testament part. Now we'll just go Old Testament now, is that how unbelievably rebellious the Jews were.
we're gonna go there today?
No.
You're not wrong.
Well,
I'm
no.
saying it, but it is ironic.
God kept killing them because they kept sacrificing their children to idols. He kept doing it. I mean, and he couldn't get them to stop. Even when he talked to Moses, they had to basically, you know, when they were supposed to go into the, you know, the promised land, they go, we can't go in there. We've got giants. And God goes, okay, that's another 40 laps in the desert. Well, you know, he said, till all of you are dead. Remember that? That's pretty rebellious, bud. And you know, so 40 more years goes by, and finally they go back into the promised land.
Well, no, the ironic part is, I'm not trying to be funny, but it's like, oh, well, there's no way we could go in the promised land. We can't take that over. There's giants everywhere. Best we can do, God, is we just keep sacrificing our kids. That's the best we got.
Well,
on this
no,
one.
And so Moses goes up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, right? Comes back down, they're having a giant human sacrifice orgy.
Yeah, melted all the gold
remember,
down.
They had already seen the Red Sea split open for them. Yeah. They'd already seen God cover them in a cloud of His presence, and they'd already seen a pillar of fire keep them.
The Red Sea was the big one. That's the one that would have gotten me. Understanding aquatics and being a scuba diver and watching that open and actually walking through that and being like, this is a big deal. That doesn't happen.
And then a couple months later, they're killing their kids again and sacrificing people to an idol.
Well, it's not just you got to remember, too, because Moses is on the mount for a while.
About 40 days.
Right.
Yeah, 30 days.
You got to remember. So it wasn't this like, you know what, we got talked into it. We're just going to do a sacrifice real quick. No, they're like, let's gather around.
And they talked Moses' brother into fasting.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Take all your gold you have, all the belongings, all the precious gold you have from Egypt, melt it all down.
Make a calf.
We're going to make a calf so we can melt a smelting pot so we can burn the kids in it, like a Moloch. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a giant sacrificial orgy because, you know, he didn't come down fast enough. He'd been up here a couple weeks.
Remember they had those 60 Kabbalist elders that were there.
Yeah,
and we did a whole show on that. And they were it's that. You think about it for a second. You got your negative friends, and they're always saying stuff. Well, you need to be doing this. You need to go smoke a little dope. You need to go do a little drugs. You need to go get drunk tonight with us. You need to go to that strip club tonight. And they're always saying stuff to you. Always wanting you to go do things that you know you're not supposed to go. Well, you get the leadership doing that, and the people are being sheeple. And I'd be saying, do you not remember what happened when the ocean opened up and we walked through it? I mean, what the heck is wrong with you guys?
I'm like, the same God that separated the ocean, do y'all really want to piss him off?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I'm like, you tread lightly on this one, guys.
You really want to get his attention this way?
Yeah.
This is going to really make him mad. And it did. He opened up the earth and swallowed a bunch of them.
One last article.
And the crazy part about it is Moses says, for those of you who want to follow Baal and Moloch, and I'm paraphrasing this, go stand over there. And those who want to follow the Most High God, stand up here. And a bunch of them stood with the doggone, you know, Kabbalists.
How'd that work out for them?
No, got sucked up into an earthquake. you know, I mean, think about it. Then now on top of that, then you still won't believe what he says after that happens.
The L-theanine. I'm going to switch topics on this.
I'm not going to
end the show on everybody getting swallowed up into the earth. L-theanine, which is one of the key ingredients in the total rest formula. This article came out. That's why I'm covering it real quick. You know, we have got the GABA, taurine, and L-theanine. This is the sun-theanine patented form of it. This works really, really good at helping out as far as maintaining stress relief and also without grogginess or sedation. With the magnesium, the GABA, the installed L-theanine helps your mind and body unwind and reset. This new article that came out here says anxiety was on the rise before COVID and after. Several fascinating studies have shown that L-theanine, found in tea and mushrooms, also we have a really high formula of sun theanine we put in here, has a very significant effect on reducing anxiety on the body. It says L-theanine is an amino acid. It's similar to structure in glutamine, and it helps the body function properly, including protein synthesis and neurotransmission. It says L-theanine is the most common in nature, the form that's biologically available. It says it was shown to have neuroprotective properties by reducing excitatory glutamate, delaying neuron death following stroke, and promoting neurogenesis, which is the creation of new brain cells. That's really important because that helps out with neuroplasticity. It says selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, pharmaceutical antidepressants, are intended to increase serotonin levels in the brain of people struggling with depression, but has extensive side effects, particularly noteworthy because it essentially burns out all the proper compounds in the brain. GABA signals is a big issue in children with neurodevelopment disorders and reducing executive function. This is why L-theanine has been credited in helping normalize dopamine, serotonin, and GABA signaling disturbances. And that's one of the reasons why we put this total rest formula together here. This is also one of the reasons why I recommend it for a lot of people that are having issues with sleep issues or depression or whatever issue may be as far as neurological. It's a really good formula to throw in. I think the total rest, like when we gave it that name, I think a lot of people think it's a sleep-only formula.
Yeah.
That's the only mistake I probably made with this was the title on it.
Well, when Harrison wrote the article on that, that's what he said. He says, Dad, it's a whole lot more than this.
It's a whole lot more than this. And that's, you know, it comes across that because it's great for sleeping and nighttime relaxation, but you can take it throughout the day and really help out with mood and neurodevelopment issues that some people may be having. So be sure to check it out. 12 days. Get it for 10% off right now. Try it out. Give me some reviews. I only got 2 reviews on it. I need more from you guys. I don't ask you for much.
If they give you more reviews, you can get a bigger discount.
I know. I still got to do a big thing on magnesium brain food. That was just on sale, but they gave me a ton of reviews on that one.
Yeah, I got to take care of you guys. Oh, by the way, thanks for supporting us.
Appreciate y'all.
And we try to keep the show as light as we possibly can. We don't really want to talk about the earth swallowing up people.
That's dark.
That's dark. But, you know, you think about it, though. I mean, the Bible says I'd rather have obedience than sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how much do we have to sacrifice in order to show God that we're going to be obedient to what His Word says and basically to serve Him and obey His commandments, which is what the Word says to do. And so we always have to remember this. Jesus is the answer for the season, and He's also the author and the finisher and the perfecter of our faith. And we need to try to do all things we possibly can to take care of Him, and I promise He'll take care of you. I love you guys so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you guys tomorrow, my friends.